There we have it. Hong Kong make history, their first ever international test win. And what a game it was. Japan were fantastic. Hong Kong were fantastic. There's going to be a jolly good piss up tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of League 852. I'm your host, Neville Metcalf. I'm joined solely today by the legendary sports personality of the year, Jack Nielsen. Jack, welcome back.
Ho-oost.
Yes, Jack?
Ho-oost.
German?
Close. That's Flemish Dutch for how's it going? You guys are playing those Belgians for that third, fourth playoff on Saturday, aren't you?
We are. Yesterday, or earlier today,
earlier
right?
Earlier today, mate. Yeah.
Look, England had a great tournament, so I'm not overly disappointed. No one expected us to get to the semi-finals.
Did very well.
No one certainly expected us to get to the final, and we didn't. So we lived up to expectations.
There you go.
Enough of football, because we'll probably talk for some time. So we'll move on to today's packed episode. Great to catch up with James Hall, one of the founding members of Hong Kong Rugby League later. Although he's breathing very heavily on that.
Sounds
interview.
Like he's power walking.
Yeah. He's doing something.
We'll let the listeners decide, I reckon. Tell us what you think he's doing.
Yeah, I think we'll get people to vote on that one. Mm-hmm. What is James Hall doing whilst sending us his local leaguey story? Mm. And good to catch up with the Axe. Are we just calling him the Axe from now on? Do we not even give his name?
I think we just call him by the Axe, although I have to say, and again, the listeners can sort of tell us this, it sounds a bit dodgy when he's on on the telephone. It's like one of those sex lines you ring up and you get this guy that's a bit sort of, you know, hi, how you going? I don't know.
Well, again, let's get people to vote in. What is the Axe doing? Maybe he was with James Hall.
He's partly nude when he's making his phone conversations for us, mate. Mm.
But it's not all doom and gloom with sex pest voice. We've got Richard Lindsay on, who sounds very articulate for a change.
His interview skills seem to get better and better each week. Maybe once he's the captain for the Hong Kong Thunder, he'll be media ready, I think.
Well, there's a thought. Richard Lindsay is a future captain.
I'll throw it out there. I'll throw it out there, Jace.
He is. He's a future, right?
I think so.
He's young. I haven't said that Ringo's young. Probably not much in between two.
Co-captains. I think co-captains is definitely an option for those guys.
Well, you heard it first here. Richard Lindsay, potential Hong Kong Thunder captain. Well, let's get into it, sure. Jack. I mean, we've had a lot of sport in the press recently. Mm-hmm. Your comments on, you know, on the Thailand football.
Oh, the old cave incident, yeah. I mean, our Thai football team, the 12 of them, they got stuck in that cave. Obviously, great news that they've all been rescued and that they've all made it out with their lives. Unfortunately, one of the Thai Royal Marine divers did lose his life. But I guess that comes with the job, and obviously the coach made it out as well. But I mean, really heartwarming, and really, I think it's again one of those stories that brings people together. Do you remember the Chilean miners?
Yes.
A few years back, you know, they made a movie out of it.
This is going to be interesting because obviously the mining incident was men.
Yeah, work related and all that sort of stuff.
Work related, but some of those chaps have had, you know, serious psychological issues afterwards.
Ongoing. Post-traumatic stress. I mean, like being in war.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's affected them. You know, some of them have got divorced, they've split up, they've turned to substance and alcohol abuse.
Abuse, sure.
Now, obviously, adults have got easier access to those types of things.
Mm.
You know, should things go pear-shaped,
you're
a bit more economical,
independent. Yes.
So I wonder,
what effect for those young men?
Yeah.
I think they could, hopefully not, but there's quite possibly going to be some negative consequences and repercussions of them. They probably won't be going into any caves in the near future. And I think they'll all be learning to swim, which is something we should all be doing anyway.
Ah, right. So was that one of the issues, that they couldn't
swim? From the reports I saw, none of them could swim. Now, again, they weren't going to be able to sort of dive underwater in it because it was so flooded. But, that was one of the first things I heard. And that sort of, we're both parents, mate. One of the first things we want our kids to be able to do is swim.
Yes, we're very topical at the moment. Yeah, we're trying to, Swinton managed to use his armbands the other day. So we're quite happy.
Man. Yeah, good man.
So, yeah, interesting. I mean, obviously, a great outcome for the football team.
Great news for the team.
And, you know, but perhaps it's a team bonding story gone too far.
Well, yeah, I mean, back in your day, mate, what were some of the team bonding things that you, activities that you guys used to do?
I don't think we should focus on some of those, but
that bad.
But, you know, in terms of team bonding, adversity can bring out the best within a team.
Mm.
So we used to do a lot of hiking. So, you know, this is nothing to do with rugby or football.
Yes, once.
But we used to do a lot of hiking back in Yorkshire, and one of our leaders, who was famed for telling us how good he was at reading maps.
Before Google Maps?
Oh, way before Google
way
Maps.
Before Google way Maps. Before Google Maps. Oh, okay. Did they have telephones back then?
Oh, mate, mobile, the 1990s. I mean, mobiles were
big
coming
bricks.
In.
Did you have those big bricks?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it was Nokias, right? Were very popular, mid-90s. Sure. Okay. But, we'd go hiking and do some camping, and one of our glorious leader completely misread the map again, and you know, we got utterly and totally lost.
Sure.
And this was up north, you know, it's in the Yorkshire Dales. Actually, no, the hike was actually, sorry, it was in the Lake District.
Yes.
And
beautiful up there.
Yeah, oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But, and we had this Czechoslovakian girl with us who was over on some kind of exchange.
Wow.
And she wasn't really decked out to go on what was supposed to be the 2-hour hike,
yes,
let alone a 9-hour hike.
Oh, good Lord.
So she was in jeans, and it was absolutely pissing it down.
Mm.
I mean, the weather was absolutely horrendous.
Sure.
You can feel your hands, your toes, your nose, anything.
Sure.
But, you know, we're walking through streams, and it really brought, you know, the group of us who were there together.
Mm.
And then we went on to do biking together.
Oh, lovely.
It's just cycling. You know, coast to coast type of stuff. And yeah, so, you know, it helped us get together, and it makes you realize that there is more things to, you know, life than just rugby and football. And look, I don't think our lives are in danger, but, you know, it gets dark early, we weigh out.
Sure.
And the weather, like I say, it was hailing, it was hail, like the size of golf balls and everything else. So, and we probably experienced all kinds of weather just within, you know, those hours. So I think that's one of the nicer team bonding stories we can share. What about you, Jack? I mean,
I've been in way too many teams where there's way too much alcohol.
Yeah,
and women's clothing. So I think we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, fair do.
I think we'll leave it at that. So we also had the Battle of Origin over the weekend. And we're gonna listen now to the Posh and Bigs of Hong Kong Tag.
So hello, I'm joined here by Lara Fernandez from HK Tag. So this weekend we just had the HK Battle of Origin. Can you tell us how it went?
Hi, well, I think it was very good. We had the Battle of Origin in Kings Park like last year, and we tried to follow the format of last year's edition. So we had two games, a women's game and a men's game. In both games, a Kowloon side battled with Hong Kong Island team. And both games were won by Hong Kong Island side, I have to say.
Ooh.
But they were very tight games, especially the ladies one, because the final score was 6-5.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a really tight game. I am personally very happy to see so many women attending the game last weekend. Mm. We had 23 players, which is great for us, because last year we actually struggled a little bit to find enough players for both sides. But this year was awesome. We had such a good response. The players were really enthusiastic, and the quality, you know, the skill quality was really good. The skill level was really good. I'm very, very happy. Yeah.
Great. So 6-5, that sounds like a very tight game. Can you tell us a bit more about the actual game itself and sort of what happened?
I think the island side was overall more experienced, because it was formed with players who come regularly to our sessions, mm-hmm. and they also play in all our competitions.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them have been coming for a long time. In particular, the captain, Anna Burns.
Right.
Well, she's a
HK Tag favorite, Anna Burns.
Yeah, she's really good, very enthusiastic. she was, I think she was managing the game very well. Mm. She was leading everyone in a really positive way.
She's also got a rocket for a boot. She can kick it.
Oh.
1,000 miles off the kickoff, right. Which is handy having.
And also Lauren.
Yeah, of course.
Both of them, they have a really, really good kick. And
I would go so far to say as they probably have the best kickoffs in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Regardless of gender.
I would agree with that, yeah. And in the Kowloon side, we had some more, maybe less experienced players, but I think they put up a fight. Like, they were really, you know, they were really going for it. Mm. And the proof is that they actually almost won the game as well.
They had some really sort of dangerous runners, I thought.
Oh,
so.
Yes.
Mavis, who's number 7 for Kowloon, mm-hmm. she made a few really awesome breaks and beat a lot of players. Yeah. And I think also Chan Lap Ting mm-hmm. Did pretty well. And I think they play touch normally, right? Because you could tell sort of the skills were pretty decent. They could pass the ball down the line, etc.
But in both teams, we had some touch players. Mm. So you can see very well when people have some touch experience or union experience mm-hmm. or when they know each other and they play each other with each other many times because they are difficult to tag or but overall I think it was a very fun game to watch.
Certainly was. I was also watching from the sideline.
But you could probably tell us more about the men's game because you were actually refereeing it.
I was refereeing the men's game. Yeah, it was a very very good game. I think again, similar story. So the island team had a lot of regular taggers who know each other and who play every week down at our socials and have played in previous competitions. And then the Kowloon New Territory side had a few very good taggers as well, but a couple of more newcomers to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the first half was really tight. So I think after the first half, it was either 2-2 or 3-2.
Oh, yeah.
And I seem to remember Kowloon actually taking the lead. And mainly, the captain, Jamo, who's a regular tagger, did very well. But really, it was Mozzie.
Yeah. Yes, so great.
He was tearing the team, tearing the island team apart. He was just his pace and his ability to beat people. So he was a real standout, and I think between them two, they really sort of took the game to the island side.
Mm.
But I think probably similar story in the second half as the women. So the island, the regular taggers sort of managed to pull through with their experience. I think Mozzie could only do so much, but in the end, but the island side led by Simon were very good. I think Alex Schwetz scored a hat trick as well on the wing.
Mm.
Fantastic name there, Schwetz. So that was really, really good to see. So they had some really good players, like sort of Kristen, who's obviously a very experienced tagger as well. So the experience shone through. And I think the final score was, what was the final score? Something like 9-3 to the island team. But certainly the first half was a real tight contest. And I genuinely thought for a long time that actually the Kowloon side and Kowloon New Territory side actually might take it away, but in the end it was won by Ireland.
Yeah, I think this year was more competitive than other years, both women's and men's games. But I'd like to also thank the captains of the four teams, so Anna, Simon, Flora and Jonathan, because they were great, they helped out a lot with the organization, and they were doing it with a smile, so always very, very nice.
JMO's got a lovely smile, so if you're listening, JMO.
He's a star.
Great, so that kind of wraps up the tag origin, and we have quite a new exciting development for this weekend, don't we, Lara? Can you tell the listeners what's happening this weekend in Hong Kong?
So this Saturday, we are co-organizing together with Impact Pro Wear Hong Kong, a tag fest, we could call it like that.
A tag fest. It sounds super cool.
Yeah.
Little young people there.
A social competition that we're going to have in Discovery Bay. So it's the first time we are moving tag to Discovery Bay, and yeah, it's gonna be a competition with five teams. Mm-hmm. Many new people, new players or people who have never played tag before are gonna be there. So I'm really excited, looking forward to it, because it's a great opportunity to just, you know, show how we play the sport, just try to, you know, get some more people involved,
yeah,
and hopefully, you know, get some more taggers for next year's competitions as well. And also for our Hong Kong Tag Super League that is taking place in August, the end of August, yeah, our main domestic competition.
So there you go, Hong Kong Tag expanding rapidly,
yeah,
and moving out into Lantau.
I would really like to thank Andrew Tasker, because he's the one who is actually helping us and encouraging us to organize or co-organize this event in Discover Bay. He's been great help. And so thank you. Thank you, Andrew.
Lovely kit as well, Andrew, if you're listening.
Yeah.
For the Origin Games, really nice sort of kit. So I think that's everything.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, pretty exciting news. And
pretty exciting news. So watch this space and see who wins the Impact Pro Wear Discovery Bay Conf.
Wow, great interview there with Laura and Ringo. Well, you were on the field and running around. What did you think of the women's game, first of all?
Look, I think the women's game, I mean, we talk about it in rugby league, but also in tag, is building, it's getting strong.
Yes.
Last year, we had the first women's Battle of Origin for tag.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So this was the second one.
Yes.
And I just think it's going from strength to strength, and we need more of it. But it's like anything at the moment in Hong Kong. It's summer, it's difficult to get the players. When it's not summer, it's difficult to get a pitch. So
yeah,
the appetite is there. I think the desire is there. It's just getting the two together and making it happen. But one thing you always know when you're watching the women play, either league or tag, is that the quality is good. You know, but like we always say, you know, the skill set for a lot of them is there.
Yes.
And then for some where it's maybe not there yet, you know, you can see them developing and getting better. So I think they did well. Obviously happy that Hong Kong Islands won, which was a clean sweep.
Yes.
Because the island team for the men won their duel against Kowloon in New Territories. So, you know, that went quite well. And, you know, on a personal note, it was good to be on the field after nearly 2 years out. So
you're pretty lively there, mate. I glanced over and saw you tearing up that field. How's the body holding up?
I was sore the next day because I played football the day before. So to do two sporting events, having not done anything for 2 years, was probably a bit daft. But what is, you know, on a personal, it's given me the confidence now where I'm probably going to play a bit more tag. Well, I'll get back on a league field.
Yes.
I think, yeah, probably. But I mentioned that to Clara. She wasn't very happy.
I can imagine.
So, we'll give it a few weeks. But anyway, so tag went well. And the interesting thing was for the tag, the island team, you know, we were all mostly a lot older,
slower
than the other team. But,
yes,
you know, with all due, you know, respect to the Kowloon and New Territories team, they were a team of individuals. They were quicker than us.
Yes.
Faster, but they played as individuals, whereas we went with a plan.
Yes.
Keep the ball, keep possession.
Yes.
Same old story. Starve them of the ball, and then when you're in their quarters, instead of panicking and trying to take, you know, glory kicks, just taking it steady. And then a few wise heads, you know, myself included, just guiding them around the park.
Nice.
I didn't have to do a lot of running around, just passing the ball and telling blokes where to go.
And obviously we had the second game of the women's nines. A lot of new players playing in that game. The South managed to avenge their loss to the North in that first game. And now we go to a decider, which we'll get into a bit later. We caught up again with two of the ladies who were playing league for the first time. Let's have a listen to what Dina and Ileana had to say about their first game of rugby league.
I really enjoyed my first game of league because I really enjoy playing tackle rugby, and I think playing rugby league is a very new experience because the rules is really similar to touch, but at the same time it's still really different, and I think it was a great learning experience, and learning to adapt to the game really quick was also really challenging, which I also really enjoyed. And obviously playing alongside with my best friend Aggie was also a major bonus. Scoring a try on my really first game was definitely a really happy moment because as a forward in 15s, I don't really get the chance to score a try. So I think that try I made where I had to run a lot was definitely a special moment that
if
I would always.
I had the chance to play this decider game, I definitely would because I really had a lot of fun playing rugby league and it would definitely be bonus if I could do it again with my best friend.
I really enjoyed my first game of rugby. Initially, it was a bit daunting with everyone watching you and you not really knowing what you're doing. But as the game progressed, you kind of forget about all of that and just focus on tearing the ball out of the hands of your opposition. Funnily enough, I think at that stage, I wasn't even thinking of making a try. More about the initial, in the moment, what can I do now? I definitely prefer to tackle. It's fun carrying the ball, of course, and running, but it's nerve-wracking with 9 people wanting to knock you down and 8 people itching for you to chuck them the ball. Sure, I'll play the decider. Just tell me when and where.
So, Dina, try-scoring machine. She said how in rugby she doesn't normally get a chance to score tries, but on Saturday she did. So she got to run with the ball and score a really nice try there. And Ileana as well. I thought she was probably one of the best carriers for the North, first game of league, but she said she loves to tackle.
What we're hearing here, which echoes what we've heard, you know, throughout the last few months from all the newbies, the forwards love it because they get to run with the ball.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not being derogatory to rugby league or union, but it's just not as tactical, right?
Yeah.
You can get the ball, you can run just forward carry. And just go. Yeah. So a lot of, you know, so we're liking it, and it, you know, this is great feedback for us. And then tackling, a lot of people do like it because there is a lot of one-on-one, two-on-one tackling
contest. Yep.
Yeah, and yep. You know, it is right. You. Whereas, you know, they're from a union background, there's quite a lot more people in the tackle.
There's a line there and you're picking and going, all that sort of stuff. I mean, even as a rugby union man myself and someone that does enjoy scrummaging and lifting at line-out time, the freedom of rugby league to express yourself and carrying and tackling, it's really good. Really good to hear from them.
So hopefully they'll be back for the final test.
I mean, can we confirm that the 28th of July, curtain raiser for the domestic final, which we'll get into a bit later?
Yep.
Exciting times. Our local leaguey this week is none other than James Hall. So we're going to have a listen to part one of his interview. He gives us his background and sort of where he got, well, how he helped start rugby league.
It's a pleasure and a privilege. I've really enjoyed listening to all the episodes so far. I think it's a great product that you've got going on. Keep up the good work. So what's my background in rugby league? Well, being a Leeds man born and bred, I'm a lifelong Leeds Rhinos fan. Been going to them since, well, as long as I can ever remember. Also played league as a junior for my local town club, and then picked it up again. Unfortunately, that club folded when I was about 12, so I got drawn into the union fold, and then as a player, but always continued to support Leeds Rhinos home and away. I remember fondly travelling all across the M62 with 4 of us chucked into the back of the car. They were always good days out. Anyway, I picked up playing again once I was at Oxford University. Got heavily involved in obviously the playing side, but also the administration side. I was lucky enough to be asked to be president of the club in my final year at university. And then I played bits and pieces after that. And I also was in my first job actually at university. I worked for London Scholars. So for those of you that are not aware, it's a National League 2, I think it's called. I lose track of what they call the Super League, the competition structure below the Super League these days, they keep changing it. It's a semi-pro team based in London. I was basically their general manager for a season, which was interesting, fitting well with my interests of developing rugby league in areas that it's not really particularly common. But, well, let's just say outside of the M62 corridor. So that was fun, but couldn't last forever. And then I found myself in the banking career, moving to Hong Kong in April 2014. I initially moved out on my own while I was waiting for my wife to come join me. What started out to be a temporary move turned into a permanent move. And so just spending time down around and about on the bars, I could see League was popular with State of Origin on. Big crowds turned up in several pubs, but there doesn't seem to be any coordinated effort or any sort of community was more to the point of rugby league fans. Lots of individual rugby league fans, but no real sense of community amongst them, and certainly nothing being played. I got in touch with a guy called Brad Newman, who set up a Facebook page, but nothing seemed to be coming of that, and I then encouraged him to send out a message to whoever was following his Facebook page to arrange for everyone to meet in a particular pub once the Four Nations was on later that year in November time. He pushed that quite well in the end, and we got a few numbers down for the first one. I guess the key three being Brad himself, myself, and a guy called Ray Melly, who came pre-armed with some designs of a potential Hong Kong Rugby League jersey, which is putting the cat before the horse, which is particularly Ray's style. But that really got us going, really. That's where the whole story started. So throughout that Four Nations, we built up. Word got around, basically, that there was a bunch of like-minded leaguers getting together in the pub to watch the rugby. Eventually numbers grew. But from there, we sort of, I think eight of us to start with, got together and formed a board. So what turned from a bit of a fantasy idea in a pub, and mainly it was around just building a community together to watch League, and with some vague dreams of potentially playing it one day. And although we were quite ambitious in our first board meeting, we did have some very big ambitions, but we were expecting those things like playing in schools and getting Women's League going, those sorts of things. We really expected that to take 10 years at least before that got going. And now here we are, three to 4 years later. And it's going great guns. It's just quite remarkable. I obviously moved back to London last year and handed over the chairmanship to Neville, who along with you guys and everyone else involved in the bit, has continued to grow everything really well. So that's really exciting to see from a distance.
Again, what do you think James was doing there? Something very physical.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was jacking off in a phone box.
Listening to probably X's voice, I wouldn't be surprised. There you go. He misses Hong Kong that much. I mean, you know, Neville, you've been around a lot longer than I have. I mean, your dealings with James, I mean, is an integral part of where we are now, and I guess where we're trying to continue on the work of all those founding members.
Yeah, we are. Look, he's a typical miserable bloody Yorkshireman, right?
Rhinos fan.
Yeah, well, we won't hold that against him, but he's... His passion for rugby league has, you know, helped create rugby league in Hong Kong.
Yes,
no doubt about that. And I know, having run the accounts for the last few years. Also, his financial contribution in those things often get overlooked. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got the passion. He's put some of his own cash into the game. Mm-hmm. And without James and a few others, but I would say particularly without James in the first few years, we wouldn't have rugby league.
Yes.
Because it takes a special kind of nutcase to keep going with the dream. Mm-hmm. You know, I've picked up some of the good work they've done and being able to expand upon the legwork which they did, which is easier than having to create something from nothing.
From scratch, sure.
So, you know, James, incredibly passionate about the sport, and, you know, a big thank you to him. If he's on one of the future podcasts, if you could do it at home or in the office.
Somewhere quiet would be nice next time, please, mate.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And he's going to be involved again. We will soon launch a crowdfunding... crowdfunding
English campaign. Is your first language, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm struggling today. I'm a bit hung. I've got to admit, I was a bit hungover from the England game. Yeah, so we're going to have a crowdfunding campaign to help the boys get to Sydney, and James is going to help us do that in terms of running the site. Yes. And you know, obviously, Jack, you'll be involved with your media skills. We'll get Susie involved in terms of you know, writing some of the articles and what have you. So,
sure,
you know, James isn't lost to us, even though he, you know, he's in London.
Still pulling the strings somewhat.
Yeah, he's in the background. Machiavellian.
There you go. So we also had the men's nines game on Saturday between Ironside and Kowloon New Territories. We caught up with the captains, again, the Axe, and Richard Lindsay. Here's what they had to say.
It was a very... physical contest, a very good contest, but ultimately I think that it showed we wanted it a little bit more than them, and we came out firing, we came out wanting it in the first half, and we saw through their game plan. They had a few big lads in the middle of the park, and they kept trying to push through the middle, but our defence held strong. We matched them power for power. We had the likes of Faisal in the middle, Andy Pong, myself, and that saw us through the first half. But I felt like the difference of the two sides was a plan B. The Islands were relying on their big guys, trying to punch a hole through the defence, whereas every time we got the ball, we played it for our hands. We gave it to our wingers, and the pace showed through. Every time Hung got his hands on the ball, he was flying down the wing through the middle. I think he got himself a couple of tries in the game. Definitely my man of the match. And then in the second half, we made a few changes. The Hong Kong international Hogan Tumalata came on, and it continued in the same fashion as the first half. Hogan got his hands on the ball, got himself a try as well, and they just couldn't keep up. I think overall we had that little bit more in every department, and it was a great victory for the Kowloon and New Territories side. Respect to the Ireland team and Richard Lindsay for giving us a great game, and I'm sure they'll be back wanting to revenge next year, but we shall see what happens then.
Tough day at the office for the Ireland fellas last week with a pretty big scoreline. However, I don't feel like it was a true reflection of the game and its intensity. All credit to Jason and the Kowloon New Territories team. They brought a very physical, explosive team which caught us out early in the game, I think. I feel the experience in their side gave them an edge towards the start. They came out the blocks really fast and just put some pressure on us defensively, which we couldn't handle. I suppose that caused us not to complete sets and rush our plays a bit, which we spoke about but didn't really follow through with. That being said, I feel like once we settled down, we looked extremely dangerous, especially during the first one or two plays, where we started creating space and just finding meters and gaps in the line. I think just a lack of discipline, if you'd call it that, let us down at times. Personally, I feel like we could have narrowed the scoreline numerous times and we looked dangerous when you had the ball. I mean, we were up in there five a couple of times, we just couldn't convert. As I said, we just weren't able to capitalize and finish, which was unfortunate. I suppose that's something we need to look to towards the next game. Unfortunately, this game, we had a few last-minute dropouts on the side. I mean, we had only one substitute. I'm 100% blaming England and the World Cup, but oh well, what can you do? That being said, it really showed towards the second half, not having enough in numbers and depth. It's tough running out a nine-a-side team knowing you ain't going to have any breaks. The Kowloon fellas had a strong 14-man squad and had a chance to rotate, which is probably their biggest advantage coming into the game. Standout player for them had to be Faisal. I mean, we just couldn't stop him. He's a big fella, and every time he ran the ball up, he was sucking 2 to 3 defenders in, which created gaps. And first sets were an issue when he's consistently running into us as it gets tiring trying to bring the man down. For the Island side, I think John and Bosch had both had outstanding games, really thumping the ball up hard. I think Luke Listener was doing the same, making big runs and offloading, and just really getting in their faces. The whole team showed a lot of heart, and we didn't stop, which was really good to see, even though our deficit kept on increasing. I think there's a lot to learn from last game in terms of preparation. I feel like we just took a little long to settle in. We just couldn't find our feet, and they really punched up in front and took control. Looking forward to the next game, obviously licking our wounds a little bit, but I believe that we'll get the win next time if we have the numbers. Cheers.
So the Axe again. Very confident, or very happy, I guess, after that win.
Yeah, he was, right? He was kept talking about it, how plan B and how the Island had no plan B.
Good Lord.
My word, it was. It's getting competitive, sounds like a
coach.
Isn't it?
He sounds like an actual coach.
It does, doesn't it?
He's great. He's coming on leaps and bounds.
He is. And look, I think, you know, for Jason, some of yours, who, you know, they really are Kowloon and New Territories boys.
Yes.
And he probably does mean something better than more so than some of the Islanders. You know, there's a lot of expats.
I think so.
Where it
as well.
Just doesn't mean so much. It's just Hong Kong Island. But I think for those way, you know, a bit more local, let's say, it probably means something. So you could hear that in Jason's voice, as well as whatever else he was doing at that time.
Yeah, I mean, and I think as well for Richard Lindsay, and he sort of identified guys like, I thought, Brock Lesnar. Chris Lesnar, sorry, not Brock Lesnar, he's a fighter. Chris Lesnar was quite handy carrying that ball up the middle. You know, he didn't back down. And again, it's nice to have all these different players that we can now identify and sort of bring into the system. And, you know, who knows if they're around long enough, international cap again for guys like that. So I thought they went very well. And probably one other guy a bit of a shout out to was Andy Pong. Axe talked about him, how him and Andy sort of worked quite hard on that right side from what I saw. And I thought it was handy.
Yeah, well, Andy deserves a thank you, not just for the work he did last week, but he's also doing a lot of stuff in the background. Yes. Which goes unnoticed. Mm-hmm. Doing a lot of promoting the game within the Gaiwu.
Yes, he's sports big, club. Huge on Gaiwu.
Yep, and which reminds me, I do need to catch up with him because he wants to talk about sponsorships. But he's, you know,
he'd be looking for a new coach as well. Maybe he's going to hit you up for that.
Hey, yeah. Andy's one of the. There's a lot of people like Andy who are unsung heroes. You know, they're in the background, they're talking to their clubs, they're talking to their mates, to their family, yes. They're selling jerseys, they're buying memberships, and, you know, it's great to have him involved. And he got involved through TAG last year.
Okay, yes.
He came down, I looked at him, I went, mate, do you play rugby league? And he went, you know, I can't do a Scottish accent, but... No, lad.
And then
I heard his voice and I went, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, Johnny Scott.
So, no, really good to have Andy involved in, and you know, and increasingly we're seeing more Gaiwu folks getting involved as well. So, good stuff.
No, really awesome. And we'll just hear the second part of James Hall's interview. He goes into a bit of detail about where he sees rugby league going and what's it like having, I guess, a trophy named after him. Let's have a listen.
Where do I see league going in Hong Kong? As far as it wants, really. The trajectory at the moment is fantastic, as we've said. And as far as the competition like the Hong Kong Nines goes, well, we all know the story. The Rugby Union Sevens. I think that competition started very similar to ours and grew year on year on year. And so really, there's no real reason why it couldn't become something along those lines. In terms of playing, obviously we're severely limited by the size of the sort of rugby league population there, even if we do continue to grow it, and general rugby population really. The same struggles that even the union has, that's very, very strong. However, I will echo what was said on the last podcast that the women's is very, very, very positive and has a lot of potential on the playing side, just because she's starting from a different base level with the skills that a lot of the women in Hong Kong have. A lot of them have grown up playing rugby union, and their skills are easily transferable to the P-League, thankfully. So, I can see a lot of positives for that on that side. I'm talking about the nines being an international sort of competition. That's really where I see Hong Kong sitting in terms of Asian rugby league as well. You'll get the mass participation and spectator base coming from countries like Thailand and the Philippines, who have big populations and a lot of potential there. But what Hong Kong can do is part of the Asia Pacific Rugby League Confederation and part of NRL Asia underneath that, is provide a sort of economic and financial hub in terms of major events. It'd be great one day to see something like the State of Origin or probably more realistically a World Club Challenge being played in Hong Kong. We'd be very open to seeing that, I'm sure. And we hear people like Russell Crowe talking about it all the time, so who knows, one day that might happen. What's it like to have the Hong Kong Rugby League Nines Cup named after me? Well, to be honest, it's a little bit embarrassing, but it's nice, it's a privilege, it's an honour, it's a recognition of a lot of hard work, I guess, and getting things going and getting the competition, the ball rolling on the competition. It was a pleasure to be involved with, but it was hard work. I think my wife would kill me if I said I was going to do it again. It's a bit embarrassing, but part of it, the thing that I really like about it is I have these dreams that the Nines will still be around in 20 years when my son's a young lad, probably wanting to go on the piss up in Hong Kong, and hopefully going there to watch the Nines or maybe even play in the Nines, and watch that trophy being handed out and being able to say that's my dad. That's quite cool. That's very cool. And lastly, I guess, as well as hard work, setting all this stuff up is costly, and things like pitches for training and that sort of thing don't come free. And we do want to encourage as much participation as possible. So we try and keep the sort of barrier to entry for individuals as low as possible, but that means we rely on the good nature of good sponsors and donations from individuals who are able to make donations are very much appreciated. So I know the boys are always on the lookout for extra sponsors, so if anyone's even contemplating it, I do encourage you to get in touch with Neville and make some contributions. We will also hopefully be releasing a bit of crowdfunding towards the Emerging Nations World Cup shortly. So keep your eyes peeled for that on Facebook and the likes. More to come on that. So that's it from me. Thanks very much, guys. Have a good day.
So, women's nines is the future. I think we talked about this last week, didn't we? Past, present, and future. Yeah. Ringo Long, who's missing this week because he's at rugby training. Probably a reflection of his age. You and I are here doing a podcast on in the evening. He's at actual training.
Well, this is training. This is our media training, Jack. Oh, right. It's important.
Okay.
You've got to look after all elements of the game. Governance, media.
Yes.
Finance.
Sure.
We're past playing. Right. Nines is, I think, the short to medium future for various reasons. One, just as people who organise the game, Jack, it's just a lot bloody easier to organise.
Absolutely.
You obviously need less players. I think given the time of year and the seasons when we have our pitch bookings,
yes,
a lot of people are away, you know, throughout the summer. So therefore, nines again, you know, is a bit easier. Interesting that James thinks, but women's is the future as well.
Well, they had more. He said more. They had more of a 10-year plan as opposed to like a 3-4-year plan where we've already got women playing the game. But again, we have that head start. We have that rugby background, so that's pretty huge. I think as well, he talked about Ray Melly.
Yes.
Again, Ray's had a lot. He's involved with Malta Rugby League as well.
Yeah, he was commenting on their game last week.
Is there a nines tournament coming up?
There
in
is,
Malta?
And I think it's in April. He actually just sent us a message.
Lovely.
Inviting us to go there.
Malta.
As you know, I want to go to PNG next year, but I think I might get more people wanting to go to Malta.
Quite possibly.
But. Before we get on to the Malta Nines, which is obviously a good concept, I don't know Ray personally. That's my confession. But he, again, with James, was one of the founding fathers.
Yes. We'll have to get him on the podcast somehow. What do you
we
reckon?
Will, yeah, we
yeah,
should
let's do.
Do
that.
But again, throughout the world, you've got these individuals like James Hall, like Ray Melly, you know, Jason Fairley, Dan Mascord, yes. You know, Brad and all the others who, you know, are championing rugby league.
Yes.
And what I think is, you know, we need a way of recognising these people.
Absolutely.
We're not a rich sport, so we haven't got loads of cash.
No.
But it would be great of somehow of recognising the effort these boys put into the game and spreading the gospel. Because we can't grow the game without people's enthusiasm.
Sure.
So now for the nines, will we send a team to Malta? Or do you know what? We've got so much on with the Emerging Nations World Championship. Who knows? It would be nice, right?
Oh, I wouldn't mind going.
I mean, Malta, where would we fly to first? I guess we could fly Cafe to Spain.
Sure.
We could have a detour in Spain. That'd be nice.
Well, I'm sure Ringo could sort something out with Owen Barca and we could...
Yeah, so anyway, so Malta 9's coming up, which is good. And yeah, big thank you to Ray Miller. Again, he put a lot of effort as well as financial input into the founding of Hong Kong Rugby League.
And last of all, we have round 4 of the domestic league. We're sort of getting to the business end because we've had to modify it, right?
Yeah, we've shortened the comp by 1 week. The original grand final was going to be on August the 4th. We've now brought it forward to the 28th. Of July, and we've had to do it, you know, just being perfectly honest, because the teams are struggling to get a full complement of players week in, week out, and I think we discussed that last week.
Yes.
So, yeah, we've changed it slightly, and then we'll use the 4th of August for the start of the Hong Kong trials, ready for the Emerging Nations. So,
you
know, and it's good to do it there because, you know, there's a good pitch, there's good facilities, we've got the bags, we've got everything, so we can have a really good training session there. Now, in terms of round 4...
Three teams vying for a spot against the Tor in the final, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Tor were there, right? Tor will be in the grand final.
Yep.
And then, realistically, it's probably going to be against either Oriana or Wan Chai. Broncos, mathematically, have still got a chance.
Sure.
But I think the you know, this the finalist is going to come from Wan Chai and Oriana.
Sure.
And going on past form, you know, you'd be... You'd be looking at Oriana, but again, it depends on which players are going
to turn
up.
I think that's what it is. Who basically turns up and couldn't put in a decent performance.
Yeah, I mean, Wan Chai have got it.
Sure.
They've got the players.
Yeah.
But it all depends on who turns up on the day.
And what time are the games on Saturday again, mate?
7:30 p.m. It's the first game, which is Toa versus Broncos. Then 9 p.m, we've got Wan Chai versus Oriana.
Awesome. And you should tune in on Saturday. We'll have a Facebook live stream and some commentary there for you.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Exciting times.
It's going to be good.
Mm.